Getting Back Out There, part funded by the National Lottery Community Fund, looking at the challenges and experiences of blind and partially sighted people in rural and isolated communities in Scotland.
You're listening to RNIB Connect Radio. RNIB Scotland is running a project called Getting Back Out There. Its aim is to provide more advice and a support network for blind and partially sighted people from rural areas in Scotland. Joining me today is Louise, a mum of Frankie, who's from Thurso. Louise, thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, good morning.
So Louise, first of all, tell us a little bit about Frankie. He's got septo-optic dysplasia.
Yep, that's right. So Frankie is 18 months old. And he was diagnosed round about when he was about 6 months old. At that time, he was diagnosed with optic nerve dysplasia. And he's a great little boy. He's thriving. He's very happy. He's hitting all his milestones, other than, you know, his visual impairment. But other than that, he's a great little boy. He's thriving already, which is making things a lot easier for his dad and I and the rest of the family. He's a fantastic little boy already.
Now, you mentioned there that he's 18 months old. I imagine those 18 months have been full of hospital appointments and going backwards and forwards and seeing various people to getting where you are now. Mm. Living in somewhere like Thurso, how has that been?
It's been very emotional. In the beginning, when Frankie first got diagnosed, I remember there was so many appointments, there was phone calls, there was emails. And I mean, in a way, it was great because there were a lot of professionals reaching out with, you know, all the help that we needed. But it was so overwhelming. I remember thinking, because at that point, you know, we're trying to grieve, you know, what dream we had, that because everybody has a dream of what they're going to do with their child and what their child's going to be like, and you know, all of these things that you kind of have in your head, and we had to grieve the loss of that. So then on top of that, having to deal with all these phone calls, emails, hospital appointments. The hospital one was hard because that's a 2.5 hour drive away for us. And that comes with that. It's overnight stays, trying to work around nap times, feed times. Very, very stressful for us. So it was. It was hard. I mean, even now, you know, just recently, a few weeks ago, we had to make the travel down for the MRI. That's another overnight stay. And then the week after, we were back down again. And that was to see the eye specialist. So it is. It's a lot. Even now that he's a little bit older, kind of makes it, does make it a little bit easier. We still have to navigate around nap times, feeding times, you know, is he going to be okay in the car? Do we have to make many stops? So yeah, it's been quite emotional. It's been quite hard dealing with the diagnosis itself, and then comes with that all of the appointments and phone calls and emails.
You've already touched on it a little bit, also having Frankie's dad and then wider family. What is the support network like, not just for Frankie, but also for you?
So oh my goodness. So our family, we really wouldn't be in such a good place without them. They have been absolutely outstanding. The family alone creates such a support system for us. And to see how they are with Frankie, it's just every day it fills our heart. You know, he's got two siblings. He's got a brother and a sister, and they have such a beautiful connection, especially him and his sister. She's a little bit older, so she's 9, and they just have such a lovely bond, and it's beautiful. And you know, his grandparents and his aunties, his uncles. And then it comes on to the professional side. So there's always somebody at the end of the phone. If we were to, you know, have any questions, or if we could send an email, you know, there's always somebody there. I can't always remember who it is that I need to contact for certain things, because there's so many people in this bubble for Frankie and his support system. But it's great to know that they're all there.
Going back to it being a bit of a journey for you to get to any appointments, you were saying, what, north of 2 hours? For loads of blind or partially sighted people that we've spoken to who live in a big town or a city, there's loads of help and support right there on their doorstep. What is there round about you? Or is it just going to be a case of, to go to things, it is going to be a bit of a journey?
So round about us, there is nothing. There's nothing at all. There was a sight action group that was here in Thurso, but they just closed down last year, but that was only specifically for adults. I have been reaching out and searching for things for Frankie, you know, for younger ages, and there's nothing at all up here. I went to the local library because I know that they do like book bugs and stuff, and I was like, oh, that might be a great thing. And they, you know, they didn't have Braille books. They had, bless them, they had two books that were large font, and they were stored in a storage cupboard somewhere covered in dust. But luckily, you know, there's local toddler and baby groups that I take Frankie to, so he can experience being in that kind of environment. But in terms of visual impairment, there's nothing. We would have to travel again. That's 2.5 hours plus. So there's nothing on their doorstep. It's yeah, it can be quite hard. Even in terms of, like, there's been times where I've tried to reach out to some professionals, you know, asking questions about like things like potty training and all those kind of things, because you do, your mind starts to work. Like when I think about Frankie, I think about 5, 10, 15 years, you know. So I have all these questions, and I've actually been referred back to Emmanuel, and I'm thinking, this is a real life baby who's not textbook. No baby is textbook. Life isn't textbook. So to be referred back to Emmanuel was really quite disheartening. Whereas I think if I had support right on the doorstep, you know, where I have humans right in front of me, where I can engage and talk and get help, would definitely be much easier.
And that kind of leads me on nicely to what R&IB Scotland are doing. They're holding events around the country, bringing people together, bringing services together as well, providing a bit of advice for people perhaps in a similar boat to yourself. Do you think that's something that more people in communities like yourself could benefit from?
Absolutely. The day that I went through to WIC, when R&IB were holding their little meet and greet, Ian that I spoke to, the very moment I shook that man's hand and when he introduced himself, there was such a connection, because Ian was visually impaired himself. And it was great to have somebody that knew what you were going through, what was to come, you know, what the questions he could answer. It changed the game for me, actually. It showed exactly how much of importance it is for this tour to take part, for, you know, especially rural areas like myself, to actually see people out there engaging. It's a huge thing. I remember feeling like a little bit of an adrenaline rush, because I was so excited that I'd finally met somebody in a community that's going to mean a lot to me and Frankie, you know, and me and Frankie, his dad and the family. That was such a game changer for me, and I was so happy to have met Ian that day.
And my final question for you, Louise, is, have you got any advice for somebody in a situation that's similar to yourself? Knowing what you know now, what advice have you got for people?
That it's going to be okay. It depends on what age. I don't know if you have a baby that's born with a visual impairment, or, you know, something happens where they lose their vision. It's always going to be okay. Through time, it can be very, very hard, but there's supports out there. There's people that you can connect with. There's gizmos and gadgets that can make their life a lot easier and your life a lot easier. There's a big community out there. When you're in a rural area, you feel cut off anyway. But when you are dealing with a visual impaired child or a visual impairment yourself, you feel even more isolated. But there's such a beautiful world out there just waiting to connect with you. Yeah, because we're rural, we have to go and find it, but it's right there, it is there, and there's so much support and connection once you find it, and they'll help you be okay.
Louise, thank you so much for joining us here on R&IB Connect Radio.
Thank you so much.
Getting Back Out There, part funded by the National Lottery Community Fund, looking at the challenges and experiences of blind and partially sighted people in rural and isolated communities in Scotland. Find us on social media at RNIB Scotland.